My team lost last night. Loyola Chicago, university conducted by the Jesuit order. Even though they had their famous 98-year-old nun chaplain, Sister Jean, rooting for them. Sister Jean is from San Francisco. She graduated from the class of 1937 from St. Paul's High School in Noe Valley. Then she entered the order of the nuns who taught in her high school. The high school is no longer there. That particular order of sisters is no longer at St. Paul's, but the convent has been turned into a training convent, a novitiate, for Mother Teresa's missionaries of charity, and it's chock-a-block full with young women wanting to become sisters. Seeing Sister Jean on the television on the courtside reminded me of one of my first visits to a mother house of sisters. And usually a mother house for nuns also includes their rest home, retirement home. And I went there with my parents, and getting out of the car was a very elderly sister in her habit. And she was carrying a box, a cardboard box, that had all her worldly possessions. And I went up to her and she said hello, and she said, "I've just been transferred here." And I didn't know what the place was. And I said, "And sister, where will you be transferred after this convent?" And she looked at me and said, "Grand Central Station, sweetie." Okay. Yeah. Grand Central Station. Or as we know as people of faith, the resurrected life. A revolutionary new state of being, where we will all, who believe in Christ, have a transformed body. Let's go back 2,000 years. Remember what happened to those first Christians? St. Paul was beheaded. St. Peter was crucified upside down. St. Lawrence was burned on a grill. Emperor Nero used Christians as human torches. St. Bartholomew had his skin peeled off. Yet, Christianity grew so quickly that in our first 300 years, Christians comprised nearly half of the Roman Empire. If you were going to die like that, why would anyone join? And if you asked one of those early Christians, "Why did you convert? Why did you become a disciple of Jesus?" they wouldn't say, "Oh, the people are sweet, and Jesus was a really nice guy." No, there was one reason, one, that people joined the Catholic Church, that people professed faith in Christ, and it was because Jesus was raised from the dead. This changed the way they looked at death. They were no longer afraid to die. So go ahead, crucify me, chop my head off, do whatever you want. That's not the end. I will inherit a resurrected life and a transformed body. This changes the way we all look at death. We should no longer be afraid of death. So recently, a Navy commanding officer called me up and asked me to attend to one of his young sailors who had been diagnosed with terminal liver cancer, and he was being treated in the Martinez VA hospital over here. The young man is 30 years old, so I go to the hospital, I go to his room, and he is just skin and bones. You can see the ribs sticking through his skin here. And in the middle of his chest, where your liver is, he had a tube that was coming out, it was going into a collection bag, and all the black bile from his liver was going out of that tube into the bag. And I noticed he was a sailor, but he's Filipino. And he said, "Oh, are you Catholic by any chance?" He goes, "Oh yeah, I was raised Catholic, but to tell you the truth, Father, when in our Catholic high school, they have mass, I climbed over the fence and ran away and the nuns punished me." Sound familiar? There's a man over here. I said, "Well, let me tell you what your Catholic faith has in store for you, what your Catholic faith promises you. What you are in now is a life of transition. There's only one thing standing in the way of your going to the next life. That's serious sin. And for that, I brought you today the sacrament of confession, if you'd like that, the anointing of the sick. I brought you Holy Communion. I will give you the papal blessing with the plenary indulgence." And then I took out of my pocket a brown scapular and put it over his head and said, "Mary appeared and gave this scapular to St. Simon Stock and said that anybody, Mary said, who dies wearing the brown scapular, I'll take into heaven on the Saturday after they pass away. Would you like any of that?" He wanted everything. I gave him everything the church has to offer. And when I left, he was at peace, and he then knew everything was going to be okay. And just as I reached the door of his room to go out of, he said, "And Father, what can I pray for you?" So I gave him an intention. He passed away a week before Easter, just last week. You see, the resurrection changes the way we look at death. But it also changes the way we look at life, this life, on this planet. A few summers ago, I was assigned to an aircraft carrier. We were sailing well off the coast of San Diego, out in the warm Pacific, and we were on a training mission for new Navy pilots who were learning how to land the planes on the aircraft carrier. And they're doing okay in the daytime, but nighttime is not so easy. And if you've seen the movie Top Gun with Tom Cruise, you know that Navy pilots are treated as demigods, you know. On the carrier, which has 5,000 sailors, the pilots have their own special section for berthing, they have their own special wardroom, they have their own special galley for eating. Everything is special for them because they have the hardest job, trying to land the plane on a moving sea deck. I used to have my coffee in the morning in their wardroom. And I asked their commander, "Is everything going okay? Do you have any work for me?" And he said, "Chaplain, see over there at that table, that young lieutenant, junior grade, guy with a stripe and a half, 20-something years old. He's failing the program. And today I have to call him in and tell him he's out and he'll have to leave the ship and he cannot be a Navy pilot." So I talked to the young man that evening. You see, if you believe in the resurrection, it changes how you look at this life. That all the little goals we make for ourselves are not absolute. And if we get them, fine. If we don't get them, also fine. Because no decision then or thing that happens to you in life has the power to destroy you. You look at this life and your career, your education, always in view of the big picture. And the big picture is, this life is short, eternity is long. Prepare for the big exam, not the little tiny quizzes on the way. And so I said to him, "Maybe being a pilot isn't what God has in mind for you. Maybe you'll be the captain of a ship like this one, or rise to another position of leadership in the Navy." And if you look at half of the Navy admirals, a lot of them started out in one area, but they're now over here. You see, when you believe in the resurrection, everything else pales in significance. When you believe and know the resurrection is true, nothing can hurt you, nothing can destroy you. The great Pope John Paul II was giving one of his youth rallies. This one happened to be in Naples, Italy, to a football stadium filled with teenagers. And at the end of his sermon, he said, "Young people, if you believe in Christ and believe in his resurrection, you are invincible." Jesus' destiny became the apostles' destiny. Jesus' destiny is now our destiny. Come, let us adore him and follow him.